Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Let's do just that with our quarterback guru, Tim Jenkins. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And here we are getting all these texts, Tim, and messages from people who said they watched your breakdown. It's out on YouTube. He is at T Jenkins Elite on X. And I also remember your tweet during the first half of the game against the Packers. You were not happy, Tim. So what was your assessment of the game as a whole and what you saw?
Yeah, I think it was probably what everybody's assessment is, which is really about as unclean as I think our offense could have been in the first half. I think the Packers are doing this to people, and it's interesting because the Packers are, you know, they get hot and cold with this pass rush. But a couple weeks ago, I watched the Vikings game, and the one that J.J. McCarthy was, right, he was terrible, and everybody was roasting him on the national media. But if you really look at that tape, a lot of it, there's some similarities in terms of the way they got after the passer. Like, they were getting after J.J., and then this week, they were getting after Caleb. They were getting after our run game a little bit. We moved the launch point a ton. We had a ton of boots. We had a ton of movement. We tried to hit him with screen a bunch. I think Ben did a really good job of doing the best you can to slow down this pass rush. Unfortunately, it starts with early down and distance success, because if you don't have, if we're not moving in the right direction on first and second down and we're not in a third and manageable, this blitz package is a beast. Like, the amount of times they walk Micah Parsons around, or you know, they'll twist, like the mic will, you know, head all the way to the right, and then they'll, you know, twist the end all the way around, and the end just so happens to be number one. Like, they get to you creative ways, and it's really hard to pass some of these things off up front. Like, it takes a ton of communication, a ton of time in a system, which obviously, you know, we don't have right now. With all of that being said, I think the amount of miscues that we saw that are actually addressable this week in practice, there were a ton of those. So for me, I feel really positive going into this week, because I think we have addressable miscues that can lead to more success. Obviously not this weekend, but as we go play them next weekend.
Tim, it's interesting to hear you talk about this. We talked about how they've really struggled
early in games, Caleb Williams has anyway, in terms of being a 45% completion guy in his first series in the last six games. Are you seeing something on the tape besides just his footwork's not good enough in terms of why he's not able to complete more of these passes and comes out to these cold starts in these last few games?
Yeah, that's such a good point, and it's interesting because, like, this week I think two of his worst plays that we had were kind of very early in the game on that first series. He missed, you know, he throws the out on what might have been the opening play, and he sails it, right? And it's like the progression, he should have gotten back inside to the stick concept where he would have been fine, and the guy's wide open. Then we get the third down where he gets hit, somehow stays up, gets out of the pocket, goes, gets a first down. Well, hey, we get it called back, and then we have a wide open dig that he sails, right? And to me, he's got a weight issue right now in terms of his weight distribution. When he goes to throw, he gets it all on his front leg. He kind of locks it out. That leads to a sail. That's addressable in more of the offseason, I would say, than truly like getting ready for the playoffs. But no, it just seems like, and then it seems like we had a bunch of throwaways. How many times do you feel like you saw them in boot? He's extending the play, nobody's there, and then he throws it, you know, into the second row. So that's what's hard for me is, it's hard because a lot of people will be like, oh, he was terrible. Hey, here was his completion percentage, which completion percentage, when you look at large data, you could say, okay, hey, this is trending the wrong direction or the right direction. However, when you look at it in the context of the game, it's like the guy starts 0-5. He missed two throws, and then you have, you know, two or three throwaways. Well, you're starting 0-5, but really you could say he started 0-2 because, you know, would you rather have him take three sacks and protect his completion percentage? No, right? You want him to get rid of the football. So that's hard. But I do think after that, you know, after the early, hey, we miss on the out route, we miss on the in cut, I thought he started to play better. I do think, like, I don't want to say we were vanilla, but we had to be simple to a degree in terms of you can only move the launch point so many ways. You can only run so many of these, you know, Ben's really great and super creative in these long play action, straight drop. That's a dangerous game, I think, to get in against the Packers where they can get these negative plays. And at the end of the day, we got to be honest. I think we didn't play great on offense in the first half. I thought we played horrific in the first half. I thought we started to get it going in the second half. All of those things considered, we had an opportunity to tie this game, and if they go for two, potentially win it or take this thing to overtime on the road in Lambeau in December. I do think the context is important, and there's four or five plays that I could point to that I think shift this whole game if they clean up little things. So to me, it's like I don't think I'm in as much of a panic as I think some people are looking at this loss. With all that being said, the Browns all of a sudden look like a more competitive football team than they've looked like. So I do think this finishing stretch is a gauntlet.
There were some terrific throws, as usual, to kind of sift through for Caleb as well. And, I mean, I guess I'm going to give you the choice. Like, what was his best pass of the day, do you think, Tim? Because I'm looking at a bunch. I think I know what my favorite one was, but I want to hear yours, and I want to see if they match up.
Yeah, it's like it's so you're dead on, Mark. But here's the thing: is like, it's funny because I do those long form breakdowns, right? And then, but I got to do the shorts, you know, for America, right? The 30-second. So I got to try to find shorts every week. And it's like Caleb, I can just like pick. I have seven choices on shorts that are incredible throws. And then I go break down all these other quarterbacks, and it's like I maybe get one good one a week. So yeah, I think the easy ones would be you could easily say, oh hey man, I love the. I love the scramble to Komet, right? Yeah. That's easy. Or yeah, hey, I love that insane one.
Low-hanging fruit. That was mine. Yep.
Yeah. My favorite one is the one that I don't get how it gets ruled an incompletion, but is the one to Loveland. Yeah. Like, he's playing on time to a deep over on Samurai, which everybody knows is my favorite concept. You got the deep over with the stick-a-day post, and he's just on time, on rhythm, bangs that thing. It ends up as an incompletion, but to me, him playing fast, him playing efficient, him climbing the pocket and delivering on the deep over, that's, to me, we can translate that to long-term success even in the playoffs as we go make a run. So that's, I think, the one that I was most excited about. Now, Loveland has to hold on to it, but that, to me, was just a big-time throw that window looks wide open watching Caleb throw it. If you take, you know, 3 miles per hour off that football, that thing's an interception. But because of his high-end arm ability, he can drive it in. He takes it from his chin to Loveland's chest. I thought that was a big-time throw. The other ones, of course, are just like freak of nature, insane throws. But that, I think, was my favorite because I'm just, you guys know me, I'm a nerd about, hey, let's get to our back foot, climb, and let it rip.
No, I think that's a good point. And Tim, I want to get into a little bit more as we talk to our film guru, quarterbacks coach, Tim Jenkins, here in Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score. When you talk about the footwork, what we had seen previously, and you had pointed out with Caleb Williams, is there's no other word for it for me because I took dance. It's a chasse, you know, where you're up on your toes and you kind of click your heels together. The weight is more balanced between each foot. And now you're saying that the plant foot is too locked and that because it's his front foot, I'm assuming that would be his left then, that you're seeing him overthrow. How you said it's an off-season thing. Well, how many throws like that do you think occurred in, say, the game we just saw against Green Bay?
I think, yeah, you see it when he sails the ball. I tell you, you see 3 to 4 of them each week. Now, he's also, the thing is he also has enough arm talent where he can make biomechanic. You're not always going to be in a perfect biomechanic position in football. That's what I do love about quarterback play, right, is you got to have like high-end pitching mechanics, right? High-end pitching biomechanics, but you have to do it with people trying to hit you. You know, there's a big debate. Everybody's like, what's harder to teach, pitchers or quarterbacks? And I would say, hey, pitchers, if the third base coach could hit you, but he can't, right? He's stuck out there. So it's, of course, playing quarterback because sometimes you're just in a compromised position. I'd say you get 3 to 4 every week. I think 2 of them come to bite him in the tail. And that's just, yeah, he's got to get it corrected. The easiest fix, like if you were working with a young guy, is to keep the back foot on the ground, right? Keep the back foot on the ground, rotate, because it's really hard. I mean, just while you guys are sitting, try to lock out your front, like try to put both your feet on the ground, try to lock out your left knee and then turn your right. Like that's like you can't do that biomechanically. Like, so to me, it's always easier to just keep that back foot engaged. Simultaneously, these elite throwers, these guys that can rotate, like they don't have to do that. Aaron Rodgers does a great job of both his feet are actually off the ground when he's throwing, right? But I do think there's a lot of little fixes he could make this offseason that will clean all this up. Because ultimately, we just need him to be able to hit his layups. We need him to be able to hit the big in cut instead of sail that one and then complete the one to commit, right? Like, we need him to hit both of those. He's talented enough to hit both of those. So, yeah, that's where I think we see it flare up is you'll see 2 or 3 of those where the ball's just – he either dirts it or sails it, and it just – you know, it comes out of his hand funky. You can tell in the broadcast, like, the ball takes off on him. That's just bad sequencing, and it's because, hey, if your weight gets off course – you know, you're going to fire your back hip and you're going to get to arm extension, you know, not in the correct sequence. And the thing's going to take off on you and it's going to look like, man, I've, you know, this doesn't look like the normal Caleb Williams. And that's all it is. It's a simple fix, but it is one that you have to hammer throughout off season. It'd be really hard to change, you know, going into what, week 15 of the NFL season.
We're talking with Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. Your reminder, you can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown on his YouTube channel at All Things QB. Tim, it's become like this consensus this week where we all kind of settle into this idea that the things that Caleb Williams needs to fix overall are going to have to be addressed in the offseason. So my question to you is, based on what you've seen now, because we've got a pretty big body of work now with the 13 games that he's played this season, what do you think he can improve between now and the end of the regular season as this team gears up for a potential playoff push?
Yeah, and so we can talk Caleb too. I think just generally this offense, there were 2 or 3 just straight up miscues. One was up front. We had where our center, our left guard, and our left tackle all chased the mic and 2 guys wrapped around free. So just general communication up front, which is way harder than I'm making it sound, right? Like when I say the mic takes them, it means like the mic is picking guys up and like hitting people, right? It's like, it's not, hey, it's, you know, we're just chasing the wrong people. So that needs to get cleaned up. There were some other blocking assignments outside. I actually think we got to take a second because 14 did a way better job being aggressive in the blocking game. So it's like I had gotten really mad at him early. He's cleaning that up. So he's a, you know, whatever we want to say about what he was doing, highly coachable guy. He's getting after it in the running in the screen game. But we had other screen miscues. In terms of Caleb specifically, I think what's going to have to happen for him is I do think our ability to work from progression 1 to 2 to 3, we have to get better with our eye discipline. Ben Johnson kind of hinted at it this week when people were asking him about the last play. And he goes, man, if we'd have gotten there earlier, right? And if you watch that play on the breakdown, it's interesting because there's like four possible positive outcomes on that play that are all happening simultaneously. And it just so happens that Caleb gets to Komet late. Whereas if you're going to peak the home run, you need to peak the home run early. Instead, he peaks him second, and then all of a sudden it's an interception. Whereas if Caleb would have peaked him right away, it's a touchdown. If instead he just takes Swift in the flat, he's got it. If he works to his rear view and DJ, he's got it. And I also think if Caleb decides, hey, you know what, I want to run this one, I also think he gets the first down. So there's all these things where it's like, man, we had a positive outcome. Instead, and it happens in a split second, right? Hey, I'm a little bit late to commit. He still looks open. I throw it, but the corner and safety can redirect. Guess what? Interception. If we can get his eye discipline just a little bit better, and it's not specific to one situation. It's not like, hey, in pure progressions, he needs to get from two to three quicker. It's just general eye discipline. If we can get his eyes in the right spot, more consistency. Like, let's say his eyes are in the right spot 80% of the time. If we can get to 85%, that 5% in terms of us winning and losing these games down the stretch and playoff games is going to completely tip the scales in our favor. Whereas if he stays at 80%, we're still going to be that team that at the very end has a chance, which is what everybody really wants. But I do think all of a sudden the Bears could be favored in some of these matchups if we can improve his eye discipline, because it's going to generate more big plays. It's going to be, hey, we're going to have more positive things in the run game because his eyes are in the right spot and he's killing us to a different play. So if we can just improve his eye discipline a little bit, which it has been steadily getting better, but if that can make a little bit more of a jump down the stretch, I do think the Bears are going to have a chance to be really explosive come playoff time.
It's a good question by Marshall, a great answer there by Tim. Last thing that I have for you, you mentioned how the Bears were in position to potentially win the game at the very end. And aside from the debate, and you're welcome to interject on the debate on which option Caleb should have chosen to either get the first down or go for the touchdown, which he ultimately did. But what did you see on the pass to Komet? What should Caleb have done in that spot? Just a matter of not put enough heat on the ball. What is your breakdown of the final play?
Yeah. That's 100% it. You nailed it right there. If you're going to get there late, you have to put more pace on the football and put it more towards the back pylon. Unfortunately, getting to it late creates a, 50-50 ball to a degree, because you have to make a high degree difficulty throw and then Komet has to make a high degree of difficulty catch. If he starts there, right? If he gets coached up, hey, on boot, peak the corner right away versus check Swift and then the corner. And listen, I don't know what Ben's coaching him. For all I know, Ben did coach him, hey, peak Komet right away, or he called it in, right? Hey, peak Komet right away and then get to Swift. And Caleb just didn't get it done. So that would be where I'd say, hey, I'd love to see his eyes go there first. If he gets there late, he's got to make a high degree difficulty throw. What I do want to point to on that last drive is the third and one call was as perfect of a look as you can get. And our left tackle just does not cut off their backside guy who's in what we would call a four eye. A four is where the guy's head up on the tackle. A four eye is he's inside shade. If we can cut him off, which is an extremely difficult block, and then just grab onto him a little bit, just a little bit of a hold. We're not saying tug, but just, grab his shoulder pad a little bit. We get the first down, and we're not even talking about this because I think they go finish the drive. Instead, that guy makes a tremendous play. We don't make the cutoff block, or we don't sustain it, I should say. And then all of a sudden, he makes a big-time play, and now we're in fourth and one, and okay, hey, we're throwing it. Which, to me, I think if there's anything to take away from this whole thing is there's a piece of me that thinks, man, we maybe should have ran it on fourth and one. But the fact that Ben Johnson is sitting there going, no, we are great in the run game, but I'm putting the ball in 18's hands, I think that says a lot more in the scope of where this team is development-wise and what Ben thinks of Caleb than anything. So, yeah, did we make the play? No. Do I think there's a lot of positives around it? I do.
That is Tim Jenkins. We always love talking to him. That was great stuff. If you want to see more, go to his YouTube channel. It's All Things QB. Tim, thanks as always for the time and for joining us on Twitch today.
Thanks. Y'all are the best.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim Jenkins, he was on with us on Twitch. Chicago 670, the score is our address on Twitch. Mob always enjoys talking to him about football as well. And coming up next, we got to shift gears back to baseball because the winter meetings are underway and there have already been some big free agent signings and the Cubs aren't part of them. And I think Jed Hoyer might have let us know about what he thinks about this team's offense. And I think we should chat about it. I think it's something we need to address.
We will discuss, not necessarily in a sober and...
You're drunk again?
Safe tone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drunk again.
My heart rate is already raising.
Oh, that's not Aquafina. That's that vodka. Is that what's going on in there?
Why are you trying to put me on blast right now?
Well, you just said you're not sober.
I'm going to the holiday party after this. I'm trying to do a little pregame on the clock.
Oh, yeah. Are we going, Layla?
I didn't RSVP.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It said please RSVP by December 2nd.
I say please do things all the time.
So we can still go, you think? Okay.
Yes.
I'm going then.
All right. While we suss that out, we get to complain about the Cubs next. You're joining us, whether or not you like it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is sort of the beginning of the real offseason in a lot of ways. And so, like, as a result, people are more, you know, kind of more willing to exchange ideas, be creative, and, you know, work late and, you know, sort of be in the same place. So I think that interesting things always happen. There's always ideas or things that come up here that that haven't before, which is one of the nice things about the winter meetings. So I think that's kind of how it is already, and I expect it, you know, to continue.
Jed said that like yesterday at the winter meetings. Is that true? You know what happened after that? Kyle Schwarber re-signed with the Phillies, and the Dodgers are going to pay Edwin Diaz $23 million a year to close for them because they need every reliever who's ever played in the history of the game. I'm already mad. Well, this is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The winter meetings are underway in scenic Orlando, Florida.
Is that different from here? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, but you know what? The flip side to this is that Florida is a peninsula, and it gets really windy, and I hate the wind on the hair.
It doesn't get windy here?
Not the same. Not the same. As weird as that may sound, like, the wind is not as consistent as it is in Florida in the spring.
I will take the Florida wind over the Chicago winter winds.
Not me. I will live here every day.
And you know what? And you know what? The crazy thing about the Dodgers is it's not necessarily that they need all the relievers, but they are going to say, hey, if there's a reliever out there that might stop us later, we'll just make sure they're on our team instead.
They have become the Mr. Steal Your Girl. Like, if there is a reliever that you have thought about, like, even just thought about, you remember last year it was like, oh, yeah, these relievers are available. No, they're not. Bottoms up.
Protect your relievers, everybody. Cubs, hold on to Daniel Palencia. Don't let anybody touch Porter Hodge or Ethan Roberts.
Is it bad that the first thought that came to my head when the news came up about Edwin Diaz, 3 years, $69 million to the Dodgers is, I wonder what the Cubs would have offered Edwin Diaz if they were interested in him.
It would be interesting, though. Like, you look at the Cubs' bullpen. Brad Keller's a free agent. Kitty is gone. We know Kittredge.
Kel Pomflex, yeah.
Drew Pomerantz, the Big Easy. He's gone, free agent, right? I mean, they could come back. Who knows? Your guy, Thielbar. Thielbar's a free agent.
Well, that's Caleb. A big one, in my opinion.
Caleb
Thielbar is a big one.
The other Caleb, as I like to call him.
The other Caleb, yeah. But like by far.
Also has arm strength.
Way back in the Caleb line.
Very, very strong.
But we didn't really know much about those guys last year, so you figure you kind of trust what they're doing with the bullpen.
It's a roll of the dice, Grody, and you're saying you can rehab guys, and you're hoping that you can build a whole living room with furniture that you picked up from this thrift store and that thrift store, and that you
like
found
Ben Brown and Porter Hodge and Ethan Roberts.
Well, so Ben Brown is their guy. He's a drafted homegrown guy.
Yeah, he would not be a thrift mart purchase. You're right.
No, Ben Brown was a whole investment.
It's a whole investment.
Do you trust your internal woodworking to create the couch that you need, the kitchen table, and the end tables that you need? That's where we're at right now.
You can't just like watch a video on YouTube and think you've got this.
Well, people believe they can, though. That's why YouTube does so well.
But here's the problem. That's it. When you don't have enough money, you're trying to find creative ways to get what you need. And I think we're already seeing that. You know, we just mentioned the money is already talking at the winter meetings. And I thought that Kyle Tucker was going to set the market. But guess what? Kyle Schwarber's 50-plus home runs did instead.
56.
Bingo. Yeah. Thank you. I don't want to. That's.
Don't shortchange that.
60% no. Way to 60. That 56 home runs.
55 plus.
Yeah. 56 home runs talks. And you exactly saw what happened. He's already off the market. Even the Pirates managed to get him an offer.
Pirates are like, what if? But maybe he wants to come here?
Hey, no. I appreciate the Pirates being like shooter shoot mentality. Yeah. I don't think that's the case with the Cubs and their approach to offense. Listen to what was said about Matt Shaw. This is Jed Hoyer when he was asked about his third baseman, for example.
I've been surprised by the number of media reports that, you know, like that kind of link us to, you know, to different guys and like there's zero lack of confidence in Matt. Actually, I would say the opposite. I think that when you look at his overall second half numbers and, you know, kind of what he did in the minor leagues, and I just think that those struggles are to be expected at the beginning. You know, the outliers are the ones that don't have that. So I thought what he did on defense last year was amazing. You know, I think that from, you know, not learning a new position, but like, you know, definitely an opposition he's the most familiar with, and I thought it was like gold glove quality defense by the end of the year. So I actually thought there was a lot of huge positives last year, and like he sort of told me at the beginning of the year this was going to be the totality of his season, I would have been like, I'm good. That's like, think that we're in a good place.
Okay, I understand that that's how he feels. I think the reason people are asking that is because last year at this time, it appeared that Alex Bregman was the apple of their eye and that Shaw would be brought up in his stead. And then Shaw ends up going back down to the minors and then coming back. Does that take away from his second half of the season? No. But is it enough offense right now as a whole to figure out what's going on here? No.
He was a little more apple-y to the eye of the Red Sox, and you could say even the Detroit Tigers, because they offered more than what the Cubs offered to get Alex Bregman. I in theory, and this is the problem, right? In theory, if Matt Shaw produces like he did in the minor leagues offensively, they're going to be okay from that particular perspective.
If Eloy Jimenez produced like he did in the minor leagues, he'd still be on the White Sox.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, I don't know if he'd still be on the White Sox, but he would still be in the major leagues.
He's
about
batting
that?
370.
What I'm saying is, when you look at the Cubs, what you don't want this to revert back to is, I hope they outplay the expectations from an individual and then a team level of the backs of their baseball cards. We need them to outperform in order for us to succeed. Because if they do that, that's what got them in trouble 2 years ago. Last year, they just went out and got Kyle Tucker, who went out and put up a 4.6 war. You tell me where that 4.6 is coming from next season that Kyle Tucker provided. If you can tell me where that's coming from, if you're telling me that whoever DHs or whoever plays right field is going to bring that, and then Matt Shaw is going to make up the difference with his improved play, okay, maybe. But I it's hard for me to imagine that happening.
Yeah, I go back to the fact that that's it. How are you planning on replacing Kyle Tucker, who is likely to get $400 million? How are you replacing his offense?
I think in part, similar to the way they went into last season, they were hoping for, depending on players like to get the PCA bump, to the guys that you have for them to rise up, which brings me to Matt Shaw. Well, of course, Bregman is the known, if you will. There it is. That's what the known means. We know exactly what Alex Bregman is, and we know that he's very good, and we know that he'd be excellent with the Cubs and be a terrific third baseman. You don't have to think about it. But Matt Shaw is a 24-year-old first-round pick in Major League Baseball who had a wildly up-and-down season. There was a period of time, Marshall, I think you remember this, where I did dub Matt Shaw the new PCA when he got really hot, red hot, and obviously I was joking about that. But I guess that's my way to say that I haven't given up on Matt Shaw as a baseball player. Like it's upgradable right now. Nobody knows what Matt Shaw is going to be in baseball. And he does have some serious skills. The bat, the hit tool and the glove tool are good for him. Is he going to be a great third baseman? I have no idea, but the idea that like he's nothing, like I think that's kind of silly.
No, oh, no, I think it has more to do with the fact that you can have Matt Shaw at third base. But that means that you have to produce offensively elsewhere. We know.
But you're assuming he will not be good then.
No,
you're assuming that is what he is?
No, I'm saying to replace Kyle Tucker.
Oh, Kyle Tucker's numbers.
Yeah, you have to be good offensively elsewhere. So, like, you know what Dansby Swanson is, right? Like he's seventh in the lineup. We've accepted that.
The ups and downs of Dansby.
Nico Hoerner had one of the most consistent seasons we've seen in a long time. We know Seiya Suzuki needs help when it comes to protection in the lineup. Pete Crow Armstrong, once the league made an adjustment to him, we have yet to see what's going to happen and how he adjusts to that. That leaves your first baseman, which we think is going to be Michael Busch because it makes sense. I'm tired of seeing him platoon. So that leaves DH, right? Ian Happ is in left field. I'm sorry. I think that goes without saying at this point. So that said, that's where I thought maybe, I don't know, get your bopper, like a Kyle Schwarber type.
There's room. You know? Do you guys officially think the Cubs are not going to do it? They're not going to surprise us with a bopper?
When you fix all these positions, when you've decided, like, this is who's fixed here, this is who's fixed here, where is everybody else going? Like, when you say you want to improve pitching and Shota Imanaga accepts your qualifying offer that you extend, there's only so many spots here. So who's making an exponential improvement for you at the place you have left?
Really, the only place when you really look at it and like bear down on it to find out where can you figure things out, it's right field / DH / third base. That's the only, unless they trade somebody away. That's really the only, because let's be honest, catcher outperformed its position and what you thought they were going to do last year.
Yeah, do you think Carson Kelly's going to do that again?
Yeah, Reese McGuire, like that's what you're depending on. It's not just somebody outperforming. It's some of those guys just doing what they did last year again. That's the issue here.
I think the Cubs are smart enough to know that Carson Kelly is not going to do what he did last year, and they probably will come into the season. They'll put their team together, assuming he will be what he has been for his entire career previous to this season. I mean, right, that's a smart thing to do.
Okay. I think the smart thing also to do is maybe not give Shota Inaga the money that you gave him and allocate that towards either
it's
a
done,
harder
though. There's nothing
pitcher.
We there's nothing we can do about it. But like, now we got to talk about moving forward.
That's because you
just
gave
keep
them credit,
yeah.
Mark, for being smart. I was like, how smart do you really think they are? Because I wouldn't have done that.
Wait, I said they were smart? How?
You said I think the Cubs are smart enough to realize that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to give them this baseline of intelligence that you know they might not deserve, frankly.
I don't know if it's that. I think they took a risk. I think they thought that somebody else would pick up Shota Imanaga and they'd look slick and get the qualifying offer.
Right. I think we all thought that.
And instead, he got a raise.
I call it a ruse. You call it a raise. I call it a ruse.
I think that's well said.
The whole thing
well
was a
stated
ruse.
By you, I Mr. Grody.
Thank you. I love
saying
ruse.
Do we even think they're going to sign somebody who would be expected to hit 30 home runs in a season?
Well, Michael Bush did last year, so it's not like you can't find those guys. Right? I mean,
and they traded for him.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean, define creativity and define the production that you're willing to have or willing to go after.
Yeah. See, that's the part that sucks is we all have to be really creative. If we're going to think along with the Cubs right now, I guess we have to be creative in our thinking and look who's available and might be open to trade.
All right, I'll start scouting AAA around and see who's out there that's blocked that maybe they can go make a trade for.
Just look at the bad teams or the teams that you project to be bad going into the season, see who's on their roster, see what pitcher is there, see what slugger is there, and that's probably what the Cubs might be thinking.
Or a team that, you know, has made a lot of moves to trade away people, like the Diamondbacks have, you know, where they're likely to lose Zach Gallen. They traded away Naylor. They traded away Suarez. And now you're wondering, is Ketel Marte next?
Bring me Ketel Marte.
Bring me Ketel Marte.
Dude, that guy hitting leadoff? You feel better?
They should be.
What position
yeah.
does he play again? Okay. I'm just saying you can move some guys around.
DCA.
Or maybe move somebody. Yeah.
But you've locked yourself into these positions.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it hard. Coming up next, I don't know what you call this. The game last night between the Eagles and the Chargers was quixotic, confusing, confounding, an NFL game. Jim Harbaugh chose some interesting eyewear. And then there was what Jalen Hurts did. Courtney Turner, our friend who was here in studio earlier, referred to it. So let's examine. It wasn't a double doink, but it kind of felt that way. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen to Raheem Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Hurts. Picked off. Intercepted, and now the ball's out, and Hurts ends up with a ball in his hands. He fumbles. Chargers ball. Troy Dye ends up on the ball.
That is courtesy of ESPN. What a game that was last night. And the double turnover, like, we've seen some things on Raheem Harrison Grody. We've lived to tell the tale of the butt fumble, the double doink, various other atrocities in NFL football that have been committed or just happened.
I love when you say butt fumble.
I don't know that I love when she says butt fumble, but it happened. I understand why she says butt fumble. Immaculate reception, is that same?
The catch. Yeah, there's a bunch of things that happen in football when the ball is funny shaped.
Oblong. So,
yes.
Is that what it is?
And then bounce in funny ways.
I did laugh because Jalen Hurts is like, I don't turn the ball over. And then the football gods are like, you do now.
You're darn tootin'.
Tough scene. Mm-hmm. Life came at him fast. So
life isn't what you thought it would be.
As we mentioned, 22-19, Chargers beating the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts committed four turnovers, a double turnover.
Five turnovers.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Four interceptions. Yeah. And then the double turnover. I'm sorry.
That
we shorted
great.
Him.
The double turnover.
Four plays with a turnover.
There it is.
With at least
there
one turnover. That's, four yeah, plays that's, with at least one turnover.
Because if you look at the box, I go by the box score in the official synopsis. But somebody who didn't was WIP host Tom Kelly. And frankly, I've been wanting to hear a little bit of WIP now ever since they lost to the Cowboys before the Bears game. It was a simmer that reached a boil that has now reached the houses on fire.
The quarterback has been the problem for the last 5 weeks, and I am tired of hearing the excuses. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, he plays the best and the biggest games. Oh, he won a Super Bowl last year. I don't care about that right now. I care about this season. And the bottom line is, the quarterback has sucked for the last 5 games, and you cannot win in spite of your quarterback. And this is the thing. Like, people get, oh, why aren't you throwing the ball across the middle? Why aren't you running different routes? Well, maybe we have our answer now. And I am just so tired of these blinders that people have put on for the last 5 weeks. And it's not to excuse A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown sucked tonight, too. I mean, the drop passes were ridiculous. But the Kevin Petullo stuff and the play calling and everybody trying to find every other reason for why this offense isn't working. The quarterback stinks right now.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. It's beyond obvious. I hope everybody realizes it. If you still don't believe that's true, you're living in denial.
And you thought we yelled.
I know, Tom. And everything Tom said right there is spot on, and he's not wrong.
A.J. Brown had 100 yards receiving.
But how many targets and how many catches did he have?
13 and 6.
Yeah, that's under half, right? That he caught the targets.
I mean, it's still not terrible.
Yeah, I think objectively, if we were sitting here after a loss like the loss that the Eagles suffered to the Chargers and the Bears had been on the losing end, and you looked down and saw Rome Odunze had 13 targets and 6 catches, you would have questions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bears don't run enough offensive plays to have that. Dallas Goedert had 10 targets.
They had an extra period of play over time.
I know, but still.
So what I'm saying is, that's hilarious, objectively. it's also understandable objectively. And this goes back to what I was saying about, hey, we just want to be decent. We just want to be good. We just want to have our team be a playoff team. No. It never ends. And this is the latest example, Mark. I think I told you this before the season started. It will never end. Let the Bears go win a Super Bowl this year. Guess what? If they're not running it back, people are flipping out just like that.
Oh, you mean like me asking the Cubs to sign Kyle Schwarber after they won the World Series?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It will never be enough, and it is the insatiable hunger that feeds us all as sports fans.
Well,
and I would argue this.
Yeah.
Success actually feeds your irrational wants as a fan more than failure does, or mediocrity, or any. Like, when you're actually good, like, the conversations I've had with people who are fans from New England, like Boston Celtics / Patriots / Bruins / Red Sox fans, are crazy. It's like the Steelers conversation. When they're like, I was like, bro, you don't even know what a losing season's like. And they're just, yes.
It is amazing. And God, I hope the Bears could get back to that. Because their sustained success, the Eagles, has been going on for 2 decades, right? am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Two decades.
I would say 10 solid years. Like, after they got rid of Chip Kelly, I would say.
Well, what about Donovan McNabb?
That's just a patch.
Yeah,
Chip Kelly was,
fair.
What, 2 years? That's just a very small drop.
They were good every year
Andy
with McNabb,
Reed,
right?
Like, yeah. Going, like, you're in conference championship games.
Yeah. He was their Bill Cowher.
Yeah, I guess I look at it, for the Eagles, I look at it simply as pre and post Super Bowl, because that's how they feel about it. But you're right.
Like, but the better part of 20 years.
And frankly, I've mentioned this a million times, it's been 30 since the Cowboys were in an NFC championship.
It's crazy.
Game.
Yeah.
So, like, when you consider that, it does make the Eagles' quote problems end quote look silly.
But the part that he said that was absolutely spot on is like, I don't care that we won the Super Bowl last year and that he was the Super Bowl MVP. I just want to talk about what's been going on lately. What have you done for me lately?
The entitlement is heavy.
Is it entitlement?
But it's okay. Like, I always tell Cubs fans, greed is good. Entitlement in sports is good. You should expect your team to be good every year.
I'll push back that it's even worthy of being called entitlement. There is just a certain level of expectation. The standard is the standard.
Yeah.
We expect to win. We expect to be contenders this time every year.
I love it.
December rolls around. We should be on the short list of teams who can win the Super Bowl.
So the media the Philadelphia media probably does the best job of any city in America in holding their team accountable and not letting them get too high, because that is something, man. It really is.
If you think that we yell, and if you don't like how we talk...
Oh, we just heard Sal there, he was.
Tom.
Tom Kelly.
Go turn on WIP. Go turn on WFAN. You let me know how that goes for you.
I just say, A.J. Brown probably summed up best last year when he realized after winning the Super Bowl, it was kind of like, oh, that was nice, but the actual joy from winning it was very short-lived.
When's the draft?
Think about how many times they've reached the Super Bowl under Nick Sirianni.
Twice. They won one of them.
In a short time span.
And they kind of want to get rid of him.
Kind of.
Like, that's the beauty of it,
man. I say more than kind of.
Okay. Yeah, I am not as in touch.
Never satisfied.
It's never enough.
And that's okay. And my point is, that's okay, but it's also the reality that we're all living in. And if you think that other cities are going crazy for not wanting... No, that's the same way you would be if you were in their footsteps, following those footsteps, those footprints, if you will.
773, can someone send a Tom clip to Jed Hoyer? I'm pretty sure it should be delivered by Dave Dombrowski. We have more coming up next. It is time to talk to Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.